Psalms 11, and I'll be reading one verse this morning as our text verse, and that will be verse number 3. Psalms 11 and verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Speaking on the subject, if the foundations be destroyed, let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts now. I pray you will help us and give us strength and light. Use us in this hour for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Some time ago, I heard about a little argument between a Catholic and a Presbyterian and a Baptist. And the question was, if Jesus were here on earth, what church would he belong to? The Catholic said, well, that's no problem at all. He would faithfully serve under His Holiness the Pope. The Presbyterian said, of course he would not. He would be a progressive and educationally minded person. He would be a Presbyterian. And the Baptist said, well, I'd like to ask a question before I answer the question. And that is, why would he change his membership? He's already a Baptist. I think we know who we are this morning. My subject this morning is, if the foundations be destroyed, what are we to do? What are Christians, what are saved people to do in light of the age in which we are living? What should be the clarion call this morning? When we read verse 3, we are somewhat shocked. Years ago, we thought it would certainly be somewhat far-fetched and far-flung and to even think of our society becoming what it is today. We could not imagine that. There was a time when the foundations of our great nation and Constitution were zealously guarded. The do's and the don'ts of the Bible were guarded sacredly. Thou shalt nots and thou shalts were taken seriously, and children were rewarded or disciplined according to what thus saith the Lord. My daddy was a man of very few words. He didn't have a lengthy vocabulary, it seemed, as we were growing up. I mean, he would use terms like get up or sit down or go out or come in or be quiet or eat your food, go to sleep, wake up, get to work. Just a very limited vocabulary, but a very powerful action was behind that limited vocabulary. And when sociological and philosophical arguments yielded no fruit, my dad was very good at applying physical science. But the idea that there would come an age, a period of time in history, that men would be organized on a national and international scale, local and state, for the purpose of destroying the foundations which made this nation great. That even great schools of the past, such as Harvard and Princeton and Yale, would be aimed at destroying the foundations of America. That was something that we did not even imagine. It never came into our minds. As recent as one generation ago, people in America thought we would always have enough sense not to be down in the basement destroying the foundation of the building that we're living in. We just always assume that people would know that if you destroyed the foundation of the house in which you live, that would be a very foolish thing to do. I come today without doing injury to the scriptures at all to say that this text is being fulfilled in this present hour. There is no longer an if the foundations be destroyed. The foundations are being destroyed. And as we gather and think about our responsibility to God and to this generation, we don't have to wonder if the foundations are being attacked and being consistently destroyed. It's in progress at this very moment. Everything for good and God and salvation and righteousness and holiness and sweetness and loveliness and purity and excellence is being attacked with an all-out effort to destroy it all. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to sit back and ask, will the foundations ever be touched? There is national organization. There is international organization. There are many local efforts being made this moment to destroy everything that has been holding us up for so many years. I argue this on any point you'd like to bring up. Look at the home, for instance. The institution, the foundation that we know as a home is under attack and is being destroyed. Not only can the wife get her divorce, the husband can get his no-fault divorce as well. Children can even divorce their parents and make them pay child alimony. In California, a child can go to court and say that they don't like you as a mother or father and be granted an attorney from the court to argue their point, and there will be a great investigation, and you then come to court and have the trial, and the child attempts to prove his need for a divorce from his parents. We're living in an age when the foundations are being destroyed as it relates to the institution of the home. A home no more is recognized as being constructed by a he and a she and children. In some areas now, it's not a he and a she, but it's a he. Or it's a she. And two married she's are now qualified to adopt children in the eyes of the present day court system. Women are now living with women and going to sperm banks and buying male sperm with which to get pregnant and bear children. Husbands are no longer necessary because women are finding out that if they can get pregnant and have illegitimate children, that the government will do a better job supporting them and their illegitimate child than their low-life husband would have. Land is filling up with children conceived in whoredom and in sin and supported by the government, and sin actually being rewarded by our government. And everybody's just putting their heads in the sand like an ostrich. Oh, how well we wish we could just sing on to the glory of God and reminisce over history. But we have reached a point that we must deliberate over what our children and our grandchildren are facing. In elementary school and junior high and high school and college, the foundations are being destroyed. I was visiting in a home a couple weeks ago and talking with a teenage girl. She was from one of the high schools in the area, and she's now homeschooling. And I asked her why she decided to drop out of high school, public school, and begin homeschooling. She said, "Pastor, when I left high school, there were 17 high school girls pregnant and not one of them married. And the peer pressure was on to get me to join in with the group. Can you imagine what our young people are facing in school and college these days? We're asleep if we think it's like it was 50 years ago. It's time for America to wake up from its slumber. 50 years ago, every state in America had laws against sodomy. And now every state in America has laws against sodomy. I heard about a travestite who went forward in church service to get saved and was baptized. And the pastor then was called on Monday by the guy's husband for an immediate family counseling session. And when he came to the pastor, he said, "I love my wife," speaking about this other man. It used to be a him, but he went and got fixed, and now he's a she. And this guy says, "I love her, and I will kill anybody for her." And he was looking straight at the pastor. Now, you have to have a starting point in any kind of an argument, a reference point, when you're talking about a foundation. And so the pastor laid his Bible up there and said, "Do you know anything about that book, sir?" The answer will surprise you. The guy said, "Of course, I'm not an atheist. I'm not an infidel. I was reared in the church up north, and my mother's faithful there now. I quit because I'm gay, and they put me out." The pastor said, "But do you regard this book as the Word of God?" And you know what he said? "It's all in how you interpret it." Hey, let's don't interpret. Let's just read it. Amen. I get so tired of people interpreting what they have not read. Let's just read it and believe it and believe that it's the living bread come from God. And as we prayerfully read it, I believe God will reveal the truth to us. We can know the truth, by the way. So the pastor read the scripture in Genesis 1:27. "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Nothing else. Nothing in between male and female. Male and female, that's all we have. Man and woman, nothing in between. Every child knows that. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Listen. I'm tired of hearing that our churches should get away from their humble beginnings and shake the hayseed out of their hair and come of age. I am tired of our modern efforts to force a counterfeit kingdom of heaven on an unregenerate society. I am tired of the new freedom that throws the Ten Commandments out the window and does not know the difference between love and lust. I am tired of little professors who enjoy brainwashing young students into disbelieving the Bible. I am tired of popular commentaries that doubt or deny the miracles of my Lord. I am tired of seeing the stars and stripes dragged in the dust, our great American heroes of the past smeared, and patriotism junked in favor of an internationalism that is part of the program of the Antichrist. I am tired of hearing sin called sickness, that the alcoholic is just ill and alcoholism is only a disease, that liars are only extroverts with lively imaginations and murderers are victims of traumatic experiences. I'm tired of seeing adultery recognized in the slums but not in Hollywood, and illegitimacy made respectable and supported by the welfare state. I am tired of our artificial wealth of America riding to the poorhouse in expensive cars. I'm tired of this joke we call progress. We have learned how to lengthen life, but not how to deepen it. I'm tired of wading through secondhand tobacco smoke from a generation of lung cancer prospects while the Surgeon General warns the nations and the pulpit keeps silent about it. I'm tired of hearing about temperance instead of abstinence and drinking liquor in order to please the cocktail set in our church membership. I'm tired of the regimentation of humanity into one faceless mask, the sneaking, subtle takeover of the individual by the state. We have become social security numbers with a wallet full of credit cards, tag, label, and catalog for the mark of the beast. In Isaiah 3:9, the great prophet says, "The show of their countenance is witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." When man or woman rejects God's path to life, the only alternative is the path to destruction. It's true in education. It's true in politics. It's true in government. And it's true in churches. The foundations are being destroyed. We have forgotten the gospel of the cross, and we are preaching the gospel of the worldly. Foundations are being destroyed. In light of this, what are the righteous to do? In view of the fact that there are people around us who are so bent and so unbridled in lust that they are determined to rebel against all that is holy and righteous. Not only satisfied in going to hell themselves, but insisting that everybody else go with them. What are the righteous to do? When everything's going the wrong way, when everything is breaking down, when ungodly, immoral women are seeking to have the highest position in the land and continue to lead this nation toward sodomy and toward hell, what are we to do? First of all, in 2 Peter 1:10, I believe that every church member ought to make your calling and election sure. Sure that you're sure, knowing that you know that you're born again. Amen. The only thing that keeps me going is knowing God and knowing that the final chapter's already been written and I know how it's going to end. Amen. And in the end, we win. Amen. I know that. This mess we're in now is too heavy for those who are uncalled. These are heavy days, and we need to know that we're God's people and that we're on the right path and that our destiny is sure. 1 John 2:3-4 says, "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Amen. And he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Oh, we need to know that we're saved and we're on that straight and narrow road. The broad road will always lead to hell, but there's a whole lot of people on Broadway, and they're trying to get everybody they know on Broadway as well. I'm telling you, Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Secondly, we ought to put on the whole armor of God. I preached on this the other Sunday, Ephesians 6:10-18. You ought to have your loins girt about with the truth. You ought to have on the breastplate of righteousness. your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You ought to carry with you the shield of faith at all times, wherewith you're able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You ought to have the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Not only must you know you're saved, but you must arm yourselves. And what are you going to do once you're armed and have on the armor of God? Are you going to go home and go to bed? That's what a lot of people are doing. Are you going to hide? Going to flee to the mountains? Going to find you a hole or a cave somewhere to crawl in? Think you'll be safe there? Pull down the shades. Turn on the alarm system. Hide! With the whole armor of God on. Shield, breastplate, helmet, sword, shoes. Just hide till next Sunday. And load up and go to church and fight the good fight of faith right there in church. Is that what we're doing? I personally think our warfare is 7 days a week. Amen. There is no hiding place. And I'm going to call on you today not to be a coward. I want you to put on the whole armor of God and don't go home and go to bed. Don't hide. 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Amen? Amen? Amen. This is a warfare that we're in. And God's people, if ever they have stood, they ought to be standing now and let everybody know where you stand and that you're standing on the truth of God. Your loins are girt about with truth. That's the only thing that will stand in these days. And what is truth? Jesus said, my word is truth. This is the word right here. And this is what the homosexual lobby, this is what the liberals, this is what the modernists, this is what the atheists are doing all they can do. Everything within their power they are using to destroy this book right here. They don't want it mentioned in society. They don't want it referenced in the courtroom. This book right here is off limits for the modernist and the liberal today, because it points out their wrongdoing and their sin. This is the sword of the Spirit, the only sword of the Spirit that we have to use, by the way. Report for duty. You ought to be doing something for God. Being faithful to the house of God and the work of God, yes. Visiting and witnessing and inviting folk to church and staying true to Jesus, yes. I'm talking about working. I'm talking about getting involved in the choir and in the Sunday school and in every ministry going on around here. I'm talking about standing up for Jesus. I'm talking about working. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We are to seek and to save that which was lost, just like Jesus did. That was his mission. That is our mission as well. Amen. Judges 5:23. A verse of scripture you never hear spoken of these days. Powerful little verse of scripture. It goes something like this. Curse ye Meroes. Curse ye Meroes, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. That tells me that even though God is almighty, there's some battles that are being fought here on this earth that God wants you and me involved in. And the only thing that's going to turn the tide of this heathenism, of this paganism, of this corrupt society, is for Christians everywhere to live what they talk. I mean, it needs to change them in their hearts and their lives and their words and their actions. I mean, this world needs to see a changed life in a Christian. We need to report for duty. We can't get very many people to report for work anymore. We have professionalized churches today where people are feeling completely comfortable. You may have been faithful to come to church. You may have ushered and counted money and sung in the choir. But have you ever led a soul to Christ? Have you ever invited a soul to Jesus? Have you ever invited a soul to come to church? I talked to a fellow one time. He said he liked this big church over here across town because it's sort of like a 7-Eleven. You could go in and get what you want and leave and not get involved in anything. And that's where people are with a lot of these big churches. They just don't want to get involved. They want to go and spectate and speculate, but don't ask them to do anything because work is off limits for them. I'm saying God's people need to report for duty today. A lady came up to the pastor one day and said, "The devil's after me." The pastor knew the lady and he said to her, "No, he's not." "Yes, he is." "He is not." "Well, why do you say that?" "Because you're not worth his attention. You're not doing anything to antagonize him. Devil's not after you." Report for duty. Come to church on Sunday morning to get the equipment to go home and go to bed? I don't think so. We who are Christians in America stand at a very dangerous point, and I'm part of it. We elect a president, and then we cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. Isn't that the way it goes? Look where that has taken us. Oh, we're willing to let it be a one-man show, aren't we? And the foundations are being destroyed. We must report for duty. Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." Every one of you, men, women, boys, and girls, Jesus is calling you today to stand, to be different from the world. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And let me tell you, the works of the devil are being magnified today and multiplied. Everywhere you look, it seems like the devil is making inroads into our society, into our homes, into our personal lives, and in so many cases, he's getting the victory. But Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested to stop all of that stuff. And our problem today is that we will just not serve Jesus, and that we will not pray enough. We will not be ambitious enough and strong enough in our stand to make a difference in society. This church ought to be packed out this morning. It ought to be many times larger than what it is. But the fact is, there are not many people in Wilmington who are wanting to hear the truth. Just generally reporting to do specifically nothing is not a good way to operate. We need fishers of men. We need people who are sold out to Jesus. Several years ago, I heard about a lady who was blind. And she did not have physical eyesight. She came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I want to take my block for Jesus." Keep in mind, she's blind. She can't see. She went out. She surveyed her block. She organized a block prayer group, knocked on every door. In 2 years, she came back and said, "Pastor, there are 162 people who live in my block, 31 houses, and I want to report to you now that of 162, 161 belong to church and they are faithful." And he said to her, "Margaret, how about that one?" "Oh, preacher, he's a hardened sinner. I doubt he'll ever get saved." About a month later, Margaret came in and said, "Pastor, can I tell you about the one?" And Pastor said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, Pastor, he moved." He moved. Praise the Lord. He moved. And the pastor said, "Margaret, that's really not evangelism. Now, you can say what you will, but I, you know, She said to the pastor, "You can say what you will, but I got him out of my block." Well, where did he move to? "Oh, I'll get you the address." And so she found out the address and gave it to the pastor, and the pastor sent another soul winner out there to see him. Soul winner came over to his house and said, "Good morning. God loves you and he wants to help you." And he said, "Oh, my soul, I just moved out of one mess. Don't tell me I'm in another mess." But I'm telling you, we need to get organized and report for duty. The foundations are being destroyed. The building is crumbling. Report for duty. This is no time to be sleeping in the bunk. Everybody, all hands on deck. All leaves canceled. No more furloughs until Jesus comes. The question is not if the foundations be destroyed, for they are being destroyed. If you are in a safe community this morning, you won't be for long. A criminal already lives there. A predator lives there. A child molester lives there. Your child is going to be recruited to join a gay club from somebody on your very own street if you're not careful. Make your calling and election sure. Put on the whole armor of God. Report for duty. And finally, keep on believing. The whole thrust of materialism and secularism, the whole thrust of humanism and socialism is to destroy the faith. The faith that we have in Jesus. But I'm going to call on you this morning to keep on believing. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, Jesus is coming. I don't care what book you've read. Don't care what philosopher you've talked to. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And when Jesus comes and he sets up his kingdom, I promise you, every work of Satan will be destroyed. And you and I, as God's people who stood true, will be ruling and reigning with him. Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, he told us when these things begin to happen. He said to us, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. He said, it's going to be like it was in the days of Sodom. But it's not going to always be that way.
Amen.
He said, when you see these things begin to happen, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Jesus is coming, and he's going to put everything in order that's out of order. Every work of Satan is going to be destroyed, going to be done away with, and those who are following Satan will experience a fate just like his. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't want any of you going there. The Bible says when Jesus, there's going to come a time when the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus is going to do away with sin and everything connected to it. And I don't want you in that number. I don't want you experiencing the same fate as the angels that followed Satan out of heaven. Cast out of heaven, Satan doesn't have much time, so he's working overtime. I guarantee you he hasn't taken a leave of absence. And he's doing everything he can to destroy America and destroy Christianity throughout the whole world. He's doing a great job. He's had a lot of experience at what he does. But King Jesus, Satan may be powerful, but he's not all powerful.
Amen.
we serve the one who is the mighty God.
Amen.
And he is the victor. And I'm on the winning side. I don't care what the devil says. I'm on the winning side. And you are too if you're in Christ today. If you're not Christ, if you're not sure about your salvation, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat here in a moment. Come down this aisle and let a soul winner here. Let someone take a Bible here and show you how you can be saved. If you're not saved today, you ought to be saved before you leave this church building. Don't take a chance with going out to meet God unprepared. A lot of people are doing that. A lot of people spending eternity in torment today in the lake of fire. Oh, you don't have to do that. He said, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. You can be saved today, every one of you, if you'll come and confess Jesus Christ and take him as your Lord and Savior and Master. Let him be your shepherd. Follow him in this very difficult and troubled world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow him. Live for him. And I promise you, you won't miss heaven. He's going to call you home to be with him one day. So will you come? Musicians are coming. We're going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Stand to your feet.